Of all the teachings given by the Tibetan master D.K. to the world through his amanuensis, Alice Bailey, he regarded the teaching on Shambhala to be the most important. Yet this teaching forms only a small part of what he gave us. Why did he put this ahead of his much more extensive teachings, including the teachings on the seven rays given in five large volumes? Shambhala, we know, is a very sacred place. But why would D.K. regard the teaching on Shambhala to be so important? Shambhala is not on the map. It is not described in our geography books. In the great Kalachakra commentary titled Vimala Prabha, The Stainless Light, we find Shambhala described. From this description, artists in Tibet painted pictures of Shambhala. These paintings, or tankas, follow the description given in the text very closely. The artists are not free to use their imaginations and just draw anything they feel inspired to draw. The text describes Shambhala as a large kingdom having eight divisions. All the tanka paintings of Shambhala show these eight sections. Since we cannot see the kingdom of Shambhala, we do not know if its eight divisions are to be taken literally as geography or symbolically. We cannot see Shambhala with our physical eyes any more than we can see the chakras or energy centers that are described in Sanskrit books as being located in our subtle bodies. These too, like Shambhala, have been depicted by artists in paintings based on descriptions of them. Paintings of the chakras were published in Arthur Avalon's 1918 book, The Serpent Power, made from the descriptions given in the Shat Chakra Nirupana. The chakras are depicted as lotus flowers with varying numbers of petals. These chakras have become quite familiar to students of the esoteric teachings. If we look at the painting showing a lotus having 12 petals, students will immediately recognize this as a depiction of the heart chakra. It is well known that the heart chakra has 12 petals. The heart chakra is described not only in such Hindu tantric texts as the Shat Chakra Nirupana, but also in C.W. Leadbeater's widely read book, The Chakras, and again in the Alice Bailey writings as having 12 petals. If we look carefully at the picture of the heart chakra from the Serpent Power, we notice a small chakra at the bottom of the painting. According to the Sanskrit commentary, it is located below the central hub of the heart lotus, and it is necessarily painted there. But two verses quoted in the commentary place it inside the heart lotus. As we see, it has eight petals. Yes, eight, just like the eight divisions of Shambhala we saw. The paintings accurately follow the texts, and the connection they allow us to make is clear, the connection between Shambhala and the eight-petaled lotus within the heart chakra. In fact, the heart chakra is described in the Buddhist tantric texts as having eight petals, not 12 petals. Not only Buddhist tantric texts, but also Jaina texts and some other Hindu texts describe the heart chakra as having eight petals. So the implication is also clear. Shambhala, with its eight divisions, is intended to represent the heart chakra. Shambhala is a sacred place because, in some sense, it represents the heart of our planet. In an ancient commentary on the Secret Book of Dzogchen, quoted by H.P. Blavatsky in The Secret Doctrine, planet Earth is likened to a living body. The commentary speaks of the water of life that flows around and animates Mother Earth's body, saying, quote, "It gets purified on its return to her heart, which beats under the foot of the sacred Shambhala." This beautiful quotation, with its metaphoric language, is worth quoting more fully. In the first beginnings of human life, the only dry land was on the right end, the North Pole, of the sphere, where it, the globe, is motionless. The whole earth was one vast watery desert, and the waters were tepid. There, man was born on the seven zones of the immortal, the indestructible of the Manvantara. There was eternal spring in darkness. But that which is darkness for the man of today was light to the man of his dawn. There, the gods rested, and Fohat reigns ever since. Thus, the wise fathers say that man is born in the head of his mother, Earth, and that her feet at the left end generated or begot the evil winds that blow from the mouth of the lower dragon. Between the first and second races, the eternal central land was divided by the waters of life. HPB adds a note here. This water is the blood or fluid of life which animates the earth, compared here to a living body. The quote continues. It flows around and animates her, Mother Earth's body. Its one end issues from her head. It becomes foul at her feet, the southern pole. It gets purified on its return to her heart, which beats under the foot of the sacred Shambhala, which then, in the beginnings, was not yet born. The Tibetan master DK, in some of the new information on Shambhala that he gave out, tells us of the coming of the hierarchy and the founding of Shambhala about 18.5 million years ago. The movement for the spreading of the secret doctrine, he says, is that old. He speaks briefly of the hierarchy's first organization of the teachings of the mysteries on the physical plane, and quote, the first outpost of the Shambhala fraternity. He goes on to point out some of the changes that these teachings have gone through over the ages in response to the changing needs of developing humanity. He describes the gradual development of the teachings and their culmination in the mystery schools of antiquity. Quote, gradually the teaching was reorganized and the curriculum increased. Little by little, the mysteries were developed as the people became ready for them, until we have the marvelous schools of the mysteries of Chaldea, Egypt, Greece, and many others. All these teachings and all these mystery schools, DK tells us, were inspired by and originated from Shambhala. But what is the teaching of Shambhala itself? How is the teaching that would lie behind the teachings of all these mystery schools formulated there? The teaching of Shambhala is known as Kalachakra. It was brought out by an Indian yogi who undertook a journey there more than 1,000 years ago. Without ever reaching there, he was met part way by a teacher who gave him the texts. He was able to bring back the Kalachakra Tantra, abridged by King Manjushri Yashas of Shambhala, from the full Kalachakra Tantra written down by King Suchandra. He also brought back the Vimala Prabha, or stainless light commentary, thereon, abridged by King Pundarika of Shambhala. It is from this text that we learn how Kalachakra became the state religion of Shambhala. The stainless light commentary on the Kalachakra Tantra describes in an entertaining story how the 35 million Vedic sages of Shambhala took up the practice of Kalachakra. Suffice it to say that they did so, and Kalachakra then became the state religion of Shambhala. They received the Kalachakra initiation from King Manjushri Yashas at Kalapa, the capital of Shambhala, after first receiving the Kalachakra teaching. What is the Kalachakra teaching? Most central to it is the correspondence between the macrocosm and the microcosm, and the correspondence between these and an ideal archetype. This ideal archetype is the Kalachakra mandala. A cosmogram or cosmic blueprint. In the West, the correspondence between the macrocosm and the microcosm has been recognized and expressed in the often quoted axiom from the Emerald Tablet attributed to Hermes, as above, so below. In Kalachakra, we have what lies behind this observed correspondence, showing the reason for it. There is an archetypal pattern behind both the macrocosm and the microcosm. These three are expressed in Kalachakra as outer, inner, and other, where other refers to the Kalachakra mandala as embodying this archetypal pattern. Like the Emerald Tablet's axiom, Kalachakra too has a famous axiom teaching this. As in the outer, so in the body. As in the body, so in the other. The word body is used here for the inner, because it is the inner or subtle body that forms the correspondences in the Kalachakra system. The inner or subtle body consists of chakras, or energy centers, nadis, or energy channels, prana, or vital airs, which are the energy winds that flow through the channels, and bindus, or drops, which are also found in the channels. As this might indicate, the Kalachakra teaching is a very detailed and complex system. The intricate correspondences between the outer, the inner, and the other are represented in symbolic form in the archetypal pattern of the Kalachakra mandala. The Kalachakra meditation practice, or sadhana, consists of visualization of the Kalachakra mandala in all its detail. When the correspondences are correctly known and the visualization is correctly done, the result is the purification of the outer and inner worlds. This is made possible through alignment with the archetypal pattern of the Kalachakra mandala. The outer, the cosmos, and the inner, the subtle bodies of human beings, together form what is called the basis to be purified. The Kalachakra meditation practice or visualization of the other, the Kalachakra mandala, is called that which purifies. It is the visualization of the Kalachakra mandala in meditation, thereby causing alignment with the ideal pattern, that brings about the purification of the outer and inner worlds. The Kalachakra mandala consists of three parts, known as the body mandala, the speech mandala, and the mind mandala. These are pictorially represented from outermost to innermost. It is through full knowledge of this threefold mandala and its correspondences that a person can bring about an alignment between the ideal archetype and the outer and inner worlds. So the Kalachakra axiom cited above concludes with a second line. As in the outer, so in the body. As in the body, so in the other. Having understood the threefold mandala, let the teacher draw the mandala. King Suchandra of Shambhala did just that, as we learn from the Stainless Light Kalachakra commentary. We read that to the south of Kalapa, the capital of Shambhala, is Malaya Park. It is between two lakes. In the middle of this park, King Suchandra constructed an extensive Kalachakra mandala. He made it out of jewels. It will last a long time. There it remains in the center of Shambhala, at the heart of our planet. It is there that, seven generations later, King Manjushri Yashas gave the Kalachakra initiation to the Vedic sages of Shambhala. This allowed them to undertake the Kalachakra meditation practice, or sadhana, and they did so. At the time the Tibetan master D.K. wrote his books with Alice Bailey, it was entirely impossible to give out the specific Kalachakra meditation practice. This practice is full of mantras and elaborate visualizations. D.K. told us that mantras, quote, will someday be in common use among the students of occult meditation, and that, quote, all the new processes and meditation techniques must and will embody visualization as a primary step. But he could not give us the mantras and visualizations of the Kalachakra meditation practice. This is because initiation is required in order to undertake the practice. The publicly given Kalachakra initiation provides permission to study this system and do its meditation practice, and also protection when engaging in this study and practice. It is a powerful practice, and it has therefore long been a secret and protected practice. No one can dispense with the requirement of receiving the Kalachakra initiation in order to undertake the Kalachakra meditation practice, not even the sages of Shambhala. What was not possible for D.K. in Alice Bailey's time has become possible in our time. The present Dalai Lama's public work in the world has included giving the Kalachakra initiation a number of times. This Maitreya-like figure, known everywhere for tirelessly teaching the religion of kindness, will be giving the Kalachakra initiation in the U.S. Capitol, Washington, D.C., in early July of this year, 2011. When the Kalachakra initiation is given by the Dalai Lama, the Kalachakra mandala is first prepared ahead of time. It is carefully drawn by highly skilled monks using colored sand. It is hidden behind a curtain throughout the 2 or 3 days of the Kalachakra initiation. Then, at the end, when everyone has been initiated, the curtain is removed and they are allowed to view the Kalachakra mandala. It is, at that special time, a very moving sight. There, in an intricate and beautiful cosmogram, is symbolized the altogether new world that they have now been introduced into. For 1,000 years, the Kalachakra mandala was kept secret. Only those who had received the Kalachakra initiation could view it. Today, the Kalachakra initiation is made available to all, and photographs of the Kalachakra mandala have been published for anyone to see. Thanks to the many efforts of the Dalai Lama and other Tibetan teachers who were obliged to leave their homeland, Kalachakra, the teaching of Shambhala, has now come before the whole world. Could a foreknowledge that this would happen be the reason why D.K. regarded the teaching on Shambhala to be so important? Evidence that the Tibetan master D.K. would have been a Kala Chakra master in Tibet was provided in an article published in 1991 in The Beacon. The very fact that D.K. gave teachings on Shambhala demonstrates his connection with Kala Chakra, since Kala Chakra is the teaching of Shambhala. When he listed the teaching on Shambhala as the most important of the teachings he gave to the world, he noted that, quote, little has ever been given on this subject, only the name was known, end of quote. The teaching that he gave on Shambhala describes his sacred place as the center of will and purpose on our planet. He speaks of purpose or will as the plan, and of the plan as the blueprint. It is the archetypal pattern for the way things are intended to be in the life of our planet. He refers to the custodians of will or purpose at Shambhala. In short, Shambhala is the custodian of the plan. We all want to see the Earth conform more closely with this ideal blueprint that we call the plan. We want our planet to be in harmony with the cosmic archetype. We all want to see the plan restored on Earth. We mean it when we say the last line of the great invocation that D.K. gave us. Let light and love and power restore the plan on Earth. Although we cannot know the plan, it is known at Shambhala, since Shambhala is the custodian of the plan. No student of the Alice Bailey writings can miss the connection between the plan and the Kala Chakra mandala built by King Suchandra at the capital of Shambhala. The connection of these teachings is why they would want to attend the Kala Chakra initiation. The great majority of the people who attend the publicly given Kala Chakra initiation do so for the blessing it gives them. The powerful energies that are brought in by this initiation can be felt by everyone. They do feel blessed. Tibetans who attend believe that by doing so, they will establish a karmic link with Shambhala so that they may be reborn there in the future. A small minority of the people who attend will afterwards take up the Kala Chakra meditation practice, or sadhana, which this initiation gives them the permission to do. For these few, this is just the beginning. They must learn to visualize the Kala Chakra mandala in all its intricate detail. This is not an easy practice. Moreover, its almost impenetrable symbolism turns away even some of these few in despair of ever understanding it. Those who do the practice usually do it on faith, the faith that it will lead them to enlightenment and is truly important. Like them, we too have good reason to believe that it is truly important. We know, thanks to the new teaching on Shambhala given by the Tibetan master D.K., that Shambhala is the custodian of the plan, the blueprint for our planet. We know, thanks to the stainless light commentary on the Kala Chakra Tantra, that in the center of Shambhala, there is a permanent three-dimensional Kala Chakra mandala, a cosmic blueprint. We are able, thanks to the Kala Chakra initiation given by the present Dalai Lama and others, to undertake the Kala Chakra meditation practice, or sadhana, in which the Kala Chakra mandala is utilized. Through this meditation practice, the outer and inner worlds are aligned with the ideal pattern represented in the Kala Chakra mandala. Now that this hitherto secret practice has become available, we can do the same thing that the kings and sages of Shambhala did. We have a truly powerful tool to restore the plan on Earth.